The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard these words. "On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there." We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. How many amazing stories begin exactly like that? We sat down and spoke to the women. Amen? Scripture tells us that because he had a vision, Paul and his friends traveled to Macedonia, and when they reached Philippi, they stayed there for a few days. Then they went outside the city to a place of prayer by a river, and there were some women gathered there. I'm not sure if you've heard, but the Apostle Paul, the author of many of the books of the New Testament, often had issues with women. In particular, Paul had issues with women who talked. But in this instance, Paul and friends decided it was okay to talk to the women who were gathered there by the water. We learned there was a certain woman there, Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, which means that she was a professional, she had a business, and she apparently had enough means that she could take time off, leave her home, leave her business, and travel to pray with other women by this body of water. Now, while she was there, she heard what Paul had to say. She heard what Paul had to say about Jesus, the story of his teachings and his miracles and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And Scripture says that the Lord opened her heart to understand the things that she had heard. Then Lydia and her entire household were baptized. Now, this would have meant servants, children, everyone in the household, and maybe not by their own will, and maybe that's a sermon for another day. Lydia's whole household became Jesus' followers that day because of what she heard by the water. And then there's this really curious phrase at the end of our reading today. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. She prevailed upon us. I could not get past that word reading this text. She prevailed, in Greek parakaleison, which might literally be translated as begged. And so I checked out some other translations of this word. Here are some other ways that this phrase has been rendered in English Bibles over the centuries. She prevailed upon us. She persuaded us. She insisted. She constrained us. Interestingly, many older versions of the English Bibles used this one. She constrained us. She urged us until we did. We hesitated, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. In other words, Lydia was really annoying. She was really annoying to Paul and his friends, and still Lydia persisted. Amen? Amen. And as a result, because she prevailed upon them, Paul and his gang of followers did stay with Lydia, giving them the chance to hear about her life, her household's life, the concerns of their world, what was going on, and a deepening understanding of this church which they were trying to plant in that area. Now, in 2018, I had the opportunity to visit this site, this place where it is said that Lydia was praying when she met Paul. I was with a group of clergy serving international congregations across Europe and the Middle East, and there were only a few women in this group. We had formed a really close bond over the years, and we even had a name for ourselves. We were the She Pastors, which was not a name that we chose, but actually was a name that a He Pastor gave to us at one point, and we decided to claim it and own it. So we were the She Pastors at that time. So on that day, my She Pastor friends, Jennifer and Kirsten, joined me in that water where Lydia was, where that businesswoman whose heart was opened was baptized. And we reminded ourselves of our baptisms. We put water over each other's heads and we prayed that we too would keep our hearts open to hear what God was saying to us today. And we prayed that we would prevail, that we would have the strength to persist, not only in a very patriarchal line of work, but also in a world where women's voices are often lost, silenced, or ignored. Paul and his friends had a powerful story to share. And thank God they did. Even with all of Paul's faults, even with all of the disciples' faults, thanks be to God they told the story, or we wouldn't be here today. Amen? Amen. The same could be said about all of our ancestors in the faith, in fact, right? We don't always get it right. And yet, we are told to share the story of what we know, imperfect as it may be, to say it, to sing it, to proclaim it, to prevail in the midst of all the other things that make us want to be silenced, to remember and to share the good news that Jesus is crucified and risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Lydia prevailed, and she said to Paul, "Listen, I've listened to you, and thank you for sharing that good news, and now I have something to say. Come to my house. Come to my house. Eat my food. See what I do. Learn now from me as well." And to his credit, Paul didn't say no. Could not say no, apparently. As it is written, we hesitated, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. So I've been thinking about the Lydias in my life, the women who wouldn't take no for an answer, and the others who will not take no for an answer, the ones who made sure their voices were heard, both in the world and in the church. I've heard very much about the Reverend Connie Parvey, beloved of this congregation, the first woman ordained in the New England Synod, is that right? And an ordination that happened in this very place. She was definitely a Lydia. She was definitely a Lydia. And I'm thinking of all the queer ones and the divorced ones and the single ones and the young ones and the non-Lutheran ones and the non-white ones and the differently abled ones and the ones who just don't fit, have not fit in whatever it is that the church thought it was 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. All of the Lydias who have said, "And now you're going to come to my house." because I have something to tell you. I've also been thinking, for very many reasons, about the Palestinian women that I was blessed to get to know during my mission service in the Middle East. One of them, Shadia Kupti, was both a church member and a council member of the church, and my spouse's roommate for many years. In fact, Shadia and Brittany's sister Lindsay were in elementary school together in Nazareth. Shadia is now a theology student in Vancouver, Canada, and she's very active in promoting the voices of Palestinian Christian women back in her home in Israel and Palestine. She reached out to me this week about a project that she's doing, highlighting the voices of her Christian sisters in the Holy Land. And I thought that today, in the spirit of Lydia, I would like to read to you their opening statement. In a time when voices of greed and hatred, division and death are dominating, let us hear now voices from these women who, like Lydia, will not be silenced. I'm just going to read it to you as it is. We Palestinian Christian women from across historic Palestine, grandmothers, mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, and caregivers, raise our voices as our people in Gaza face deliberate starvation. We speak from our faith and humanity, following the prophetic voices of our ancestors in Scripture, who proclaimed God's justice in times of crisis. Like our matriarch Mary, mother of Jesus, we magnify the Lord who has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary's song was a radical proclamation of justice, recognizing God's preference for the oppressed. We stand with Tabitha, known for her good works and acts of charity, who made garments for widows. Like Tabitha, Palestinian women have threaded our stories into fabric through traditional Tatriz embroidery, patterns that speak to our indigenous roots, connecting us to this land since ancient times. This embroidery tradition embodies sumud, our Palestinian practice of steadfastness that refuses to surrender our humanity. We remember Huldah, who spoke truth to King Josiah, and Rizpah, who kept vigil over her son's unburied bodies, refusing to let them be forgotten. We honor Phoebe, the deacon whom Paul trusted to carry his letter to the Romans, calling her a benefactor of many. The reality in Gaza is one of inhuman conditions under permanent blockade. Today, this has worsened into what human rights organizations recognize as genocide. Our children waste away from hunger. Our elderly die without medicine. As women, we comfort our children while hiding our own fears, distribute meager food while our stomachs ache. In Scripture, many women remained unnamed. The woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman. Similarly, Palestinian women today are rendered invisible or reduced to women and children, a nameless collective whose stories and agency are erased. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," yet today more than 14,000 children in Gaza face death from malnutrition and disease, though through deliberate withholding of food, water, and medicine. We reject the narrative that categorizes only women and children as innocent victims. This dehumanizes Palestinian men and normalizes genocide against our entire people. All Palestinians deserve protection under international law. Our Muslim sisters also cradle hungry children, search for medicine, and mourn the dead. While we speak from our Christian faith, our suffering and our hope for justice are shared. As Palestinian Christian women, we stand in a tradition of nonviolent resistance that gives us agency even in dehumanizing circumstances. From organizing the first intifada to creating therapy programs for traumatized children, we resist oppression while affirming life. This resistance is our sumud, refusing to surrender our humanity. Scripture commands, is it not, to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And we call upon women of all nations to join us in demanding an immediate end to the starvation of Gaza. The deliberate withholding of food, water, and medicine constitutes war crimes under international law, yet continues with impunity. This human-made catastrophe can be stopped today with political will. We affirm that resistance is a right and a duty for the Christian, but it is resistance with love as its logic. As Palestinian Christian women, our samud and our hope remains strong because it is from God. With those who signed the call to repentance, we proclaim hope. We believe that God's goodness will finally triumph over the evil of hate and death. Until that day comes, we will not be silent. We will speak our truth, demand justice, work for peace, and never stop insisting that our children, all our children, deserve to live. Signed, Palestinian Christian women from across historic Palestine, the named and the unnamed, the heard and the unheard, the visible and the invisible. Dear people, with Lydia and all our ancestors in the faith, and with the risen Christ as both our light and our foundation, we shall prevail. Let it be so. Amen.